Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to The Awakening with Katina Love. Today is Tuesday, July 21st, 2015. I am your host and natural wellness coach. If you would like assistance with improving your diet, releasing weight, colon and digestive health, I can be reached at 248-820-1563. My email is lotuslife8@yahoo.com. My website is lotuslifehealing.com, lotuslifehealing.com. If you have any suggestions or questions about any of our shows, or you would like to be a guest on our show to share your passion, business, and life purpose in the healing arts, or anything connected with uplifting humanity, we would love to hear from you. Today, we are doing a segment on Connected with Purpose. And today's show is called Perceived Differences in the Light of Oneness. And our guest, Dr. Wendy Trenor, will share how anyone can overcome personal or social issues with love. Dr. Wendy Trenor, a wisdom keeper with insight into how the peer pressure process works as it relates to why people unknowingly compromise themselves under social pressure, leading them to betray their own hearts and consciousness. Dr. Wendy Trenor holds a PhD in psychology. She walked away from three different jobs because of unethical activity. She's a teacher of love, self-love, awareness, and happiness. And acceptance. She's a cancer survivor and a survivor of workplace bullying, a social scientist and thought leader who teaches on being true to you and your happiness. She shows us how to build an inclusive and ethical culture in the global workplace and beyond. Her website is icanheal.org. icanheal.org. Dr. Wendy Trenor, how are you today? Thank you for being a guest on the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Katina. It's such an honor and a pleasure to be here with you and your listeners.
Thank you. Thank you. So the title, Perceived Differences in the Light of Oneness. What does that mean to you?
Thank you for asking. To me, yeah, it refers to when we are in the world and we are relying on our, senses of sight and sound. I guess, really, it's about using our mundane senses, worldly senses, to perceive what is true. And many of us have been conditioned to perceive differences across social groups or social boundaries, whether they are national or ethnic or racial or religious and or economic. And I am taking a stand today to say that those differences are not real and that what is real is the oneness that we all are, that in truth we need to start looking with our hearts, and when we do, we come to see the light of humanity emanating from every heart, sparkling in every eyes, springing in everyone's footstep. You know, just as an example, yesterday I had grabbed lunch. I was in my car. I was going to actually eat lunch in my car in a parking lot, and this homeless man came up to me, and he asked me for money, and I said, oh, I don't have any cash, because I didn't, but I have love. And he said, okay, if you have love, I'll listen. I'll hang out. So I ended up reading him a story, a children's book story that I wrote about, it's called The Boy Who Believed in the Sun. And it's just about mm-hmm. this little boy who has faith that behind the gray sky, there is a sun shining high. And people, you know, make fun of him. They think he's crazy because he believes there's the sun. But one day the sun mm-hmm. actually does come out. And then they don't think he's crazy anymore, and they celebrate him. Anyhow, the homeless man loved the story. He said it was the story of his life.
Wow.
I know. And I said, oh, my God, that's amazing. So we decided to go out to lunch, and I took my lunch with me to some restaurant where he had a hamburger and a strawberry lemonade. And during our conversation, he asked me to guess how many people he had talked to before me, before mm-hmm. someone had offered to help him. And I said, you know, how many people? Like 12, right? He said, mm-hmm. 300 to 400. And
you're kidding?
He said, no. He said he talked to 300 to 400 people before someone had stepped up to help him. Moreover,
wow.
Okay, so not only was I shocked, right, that people aren't seeing him as he is, right? Because
right.
if we were seeing him as he is, we would all see him as our sister or our brother or he's just another limb on the tree of existence, right? We're all
right.
We're all connected to the same tree of life. And
mm-hmm.
So I thought that was really shocking because I thought, how could people not, you know, look at him and feel like this is my friend, you know, he needs help. And so I guess, yeah, other people's hearts are closed because if we were to see with the heart, we would see him as one of us. So that was the first
Absolutely.
Thing that I learned from him. Yeah. And then there was a second thing that he said that also blew me away. I can't remember, but at least you get the idea. Here's someone who, oh, this is the second thing that blew me away, was when we were walking to lunch together, some man mm-hmm. drove by us and shouted out the window of his car. He said, I mm-hmm. love you.
Oh, that is
and
awesome.
And he and I looked at each other. We're like, whoa, that is so cool. So I guess that man got really excited
that.
To see us sharing love. And he was on board with our love. And let us all get on board on the love boat because it's here now.
Oh, my God. That is just so touching.
Oh,
and so
yeah,
real.
It was moving.
So true.
It was so moving. It was amazing. I'm still living it. It's in... Yeah.
And it's like love is priceless. It's invaluable.
Yeah.
And that was a better present than the money that you could have given this man.
Yeah.
Because when you have love, when you have that vibration, you draw in everything that you need.
Mm.
So he was asking you for money so that he could get something to eat probably, and he got something to eat. So he got love and he got his needs met.
Yeah, he didn't need money. He just needed love. And because that
he
got all the needs met.
He just needed love. And that's
yeah.
a perfect gift to give yourself.
Gorgeous. Yes.
And to anyone else.
Awesome.
And because you gave him that love, you changed his energy and his vibration. Because
awesome.
Of your energy and your vibration, you had a
wow.
really good impact on him. And so
awesome.
Now he has it in his energy field, and so he drew more love in. You see that? The both of you are on the frequency
yeah.
of love, and then it vibrated out into the atmosphere, and so
it was recognized.
Rolled by.
Yeah,
he recognized
right.
it and felt the energy
Aww.
Because
Aww.
Like attracts like.
Love it.
Like attracts like, and you drew the love in. So that's just awesome. You remind me so much of Mother Teresa, you know, the work that she did.
Oh, my God, I'm so excited. I'm jumping up and down.
Aww, oh, my God,
that's
the work
divine.
She did and the love and the compassion that she had for humanity. It was just awesome. Words
oh.
can't express.
Oh, my
just,
God.
It's just beautiful. So
oh
our
my
world,
God.
our planet needs more people like you. Definitely.
Because I just see with the heart. I say I don't need glasses because I see with the heart. And if we open up our hearts, we'll see with the heart.
We'll see
and
with
we'll
the
see
heart.
Our oneness.
And
Yeah.
And we'll see our oneness, and that's healing. That is healing. I can heal. The book, your book, one of your books is about I can heal. So,
oh, yeah. And we
of
got
course,
a whole series.
We can heal.
A whole series of I can
we
heal.
We heal. Yeah, we heal with our energy, with our presence,
ooh,
with our
ooh,
words, with
ooh,
our thoughts, with our actions.
I love it. Mm.
That's really how we heal.
Mm.
That's how we heal. We heal ourselves that way. And then once we heal ourselves, because you are so full of love, it's so easy for you to pass it on to others. So that's what we need, love. The world needs love.
Yeah.
And you're a prime example of that.
Oh.
Oh, my God, how beautiful that is.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Can I share a story?
Yes, yes.
Okay, I met this woman. I think she was a Mayan woman at a conference, and she walked up to me, and she could feel my vibration of love. And she said something very similar to what you said. She said, every person who interacts with you is going to take, when they interact with your field, something in them will be ignited. It's like they remember who they are. I am vibrating at the frequency of love because I remember who I am. I remember I am one with all. I am, you know, I don't even know what to call it. Scientifically, I call it the basic state. I am the basic state. Or people less, you know, less inclined to call it that might call it you are soul, you know. You are, I don't know, there are different words for it. But what's really crazy and wonderful is I was trained as a scientist of human emotion, thought, and behavior. And some years ago, I was working on science. I was using, just like we use a needle and thread to sew together patches of fabric to make a quilt, I used the needle and thread of logic to sew together patches of research findings in my field to create an overarching quilt or tapestry of understanding. And what astonished me, and I shouldn't have been surprised, was that that overarching map of truth based on science mirrors the tenets of spiritual truth. And, of course, I should not be surprised because truth is truth. But even though science has limits, using logic, I found that the truth was one in terms of the spiritual truth, this idea of, you know, there being the whole, and then there's the soul, which is a part of the whole. And out of my research came this idea called the basic state. And the basic state is who you are, who you would be without the wounds of conditional love from the socialization process. I know. I was like, oh, my gosh. And so it was so amazing.
Right.
We are this pure essence.
Yes.
And this is the pure essence uncontaminated by the conditioning of society. And it's this pure essence, which is not just the truth for you, the truth of who you are and the truth of who I am. It's the truth of all that is.
Right.
And so it was at that time I realized that all of us humans who feel lack, if we're in a state of lack, which you and I are not when we're in a state of love, but if we are not in a state of love, we're in a state of lack, and that's because our true way of being has been cramped and our self-perception clouded merely by the group, society, and their conditional love, or by, you know, fear. Fear is, you know, is not love. But here...
Right, it's the opposite.
So So anyway, that gives you kind of an idea about this idea. So the basic state was a scientific thing that dropped out of my understanding that is the same as what I would call soul. I thought that was so neat. So we really are whole. We may not feel whole, but we really are whole. It's only we believed ourselves to be otherwise, right?
Right. Absolutely. So now that we're talking about these roles, can you share, like, why you left corporate America and why you left your job? Like, your bio states that you left three different jobs.
I did. Can you share?
Yeah.
Sure. Well, you know, on the surface, it might look like, wow, you know, I did this heroic, courageous, loud thing. But the truth was it was not, you know, it was very quiet, very subtle. You know, I never told people why I was leaving the job. I just was there in my first job. I'd been asked to do stuff that was unbeknownst to me, it was illegal. I had no idea. So I'd been asked by a superior to make a call to a company and ask them a certain question. So that's what I did. And then when I called that company, that company informed me that I was not allowed to ask that question, that was an illegal thing to do. And so then, you know, I got mad and I said, you know, that's not okay to have me do something that's illegal. Anyhow, and then, you know, if you hear the larger story about my first job, you know, at that job, I was already being bullied anyway. You know, I was ridiculed for living in a lower income neighborhood. They called me slummy as a nickname. That was one superior in particular. And I was excluded from, you know, company parties. And I was threatened, you know, I was told if I didn't become like them, I would soon be butting heads with top management. I was biking to work, and my boss, my super boss, the boss of, you know, my superior, he told me he would drive me home every day I drove to work on my bike. You know, it was like,
wow.
I couldn't be who I was. And, a lot of people
you couldn't
who
be
worked
yourself.
At this, I couldn't be myself. And a lot of people who worked at this company lived in a like apartment complex where they all lived there together. And it was like weird, you know, it's like, why can't I just live in my neighborhood and be respected for that? So anyway, I ended up quitting that job. Yay. And I maintained my integrity, and I'm really happy that I did that because I like being whole. I like being true to my heart. It gives my life meaning. And, you know, I want to just say to anyone out there who feels like they have to do, or if you feel like you have to do what your boss tells you, remember that that's not true because you have free will. All of us on the planet have free will, and it's incumbent upon us to use it, right? What if, you know, what if I never left that job? What if Gandhi never, you know, did the March to the Sea? What if you have free will, which you do, and you never use it? Then you will end up having lived a robotic life. Let's, you know, we can take a stand in our own quiet, subtle way, but live authentically, live in alignment with the call of your heart, and your life will turn into a miracle. So I'm here to help you reclaim your freedom. Because you are free, the soul is free, and you are soul, essentially.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
Thank you.
And so
Thank
now
you.
The work that you do, can you share with us the work that you do? But first I want to say you have meaning, and you have purpose, and you have passion in the work that you're doing now. You have fulfillment in the work that you're doing. And really, that's why we're here. We're here to discover our purpose.
Yes.
What is our purpose for being here?
I'm going to jump up and down again.
Yeah, whatever our heart desires, whatever makes your heart, that is your purpose.
Yes.
Whatever it is. It could be cleaning up the planet. It could be picking trash up off the streets, you know, to make the earth beautiful. It could be singing. It could be an artist. It could be healing people. It can be whatever. It could be you might want to be an astronaut. You know, it's never too late.
Never too late.
To go after what you really desire for yourself, what gives you joy. Because our job, you know, if it's paying your bills and it's making you sad and you're not happy, that's not the right job for you, period, right?
Yes, right.
So, you know, what do you advise to people who want to pursue their dreams and want to pursue their purpose and their passion? What do you advise to them?
Very good question. I advise them to take a leap of initial faith, which means to have faith in themselves and the possibilities, even if they don't. So even if you don't believe in yourself, I'm going to have you pretend you do, and then I'm going to have you act in a way consistent with that belief. And then once you do that, you discover, like I did once upon a time, that every door you thought would be slammed in your face gently opens.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere
That's
you thought
awesome.
There was no a broken bridge, there is a golden bridge to the other side. Every single thing you thought you couldn't do, you can do. You have the map. You have the compass. You have the passion. You have the purpose. You have the wings. You have everything you need inside you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So people who have had similar experiences in the workplace and, you know, maybe experiencing that now, what would you advise to them? How can they heal themselves from those past wounds and behavior?
Oh, how do they heal themselves from the abusive
past,
behavior?
The past
or from what?
Yeah. You know, from the past
in the workplace?
Wounds and the behavior in the workplace.
Yeah, that's a very good question. Well, I advise to my clients and to the people I work with that I speak to in my retreats and seminars to make the non-social your reference group. So there's this idea of a reference group, which is the group whose standards we internalize as our own. So our ideas of what is good, right, and true tend to be socially grounded in a group. There's a group who has these codes of ethics or these value systems, and we tend to internalize the value system of a certain group of people as our own, and that group represents our reference group. But what I tell my clients to do is to make the non-social their reference group, because then there are no standards. There is no conditional acceptance. There is only unconditional isness. And once you make the non-social your reference group, you have stripped yourself of the social identity or the ego or that social role. You have stripped yourself of what is false, and you've come to discover, to realize what is true, which is the basic state. The basic state is who we truly are. The basic state is truth, because to realize the basic state is to realize the truth of who you are. And to reclaim the basic state is to reclaim love, because love is truly where we belong, is truly where we are. And we do this the way to realize the non-social your reference group, which is done by making the non-social what I call your everyday group, the group in whose context you generally find yourself, which translates practically into meditation every day.
Mm-hmm.
I tell my clients to meditate in the morning, you know, walk in nature, journal, and do your yoga. And then 3 hours later, if you're in a toxic work environment, take your lunch outside, you know, go to a cafe, go to an exercise center, you know, walk in the park. And then if you're like me, when I was working 9 to 5 in California, here we have two 15-minute breaks by law. I would combine those two 15-minute breaks into one 30-minute break at 4 o'clock, and then basically every 3 hours I would take a break in nature, you know, outside the toxic environment where I can reclaim my identity as wholeness, spirit, soul, the basic state. And
awesome.
Then I'm happy. Yeah. And the homeless man I met yesterday said, I'm happier than anyone he met. I'm happier than those 400 people. Isn't that amazing?
That is just amazing. Totally amazing.
Amazing.
So this is a way connecting and meditating, connecting with spirit in our meditations and going for walking in nature and taking time for deep breathing. When we connect with spirit, we become less judgmental. We're not judgmental when we see people through the eyes of source. When we're connected with nature, when we're in our meditations, this helps us to be non-judgmental, right? Because
that's
we're connected
right.
to source. We're connected
right.
to spirit.
Right.
Yes.
No
so
fear when we're connected.
Yes. So that's oneness, right? Just really being connected to spirit, to God, to universe, whatever we refer to the energy as, connecting with nature.
Yes.
That's oneness because we are all connected. So
yes.
The homeless man, you saw him as your brother. That's oneness,
yes.
right?
Yes.
That's oneness.
You've got it.
The tree.
Absolutely.
The tree outside, the dog walking down the street, having compassion. That's oneness because we're all connected.
Yes. Oneness is
yes.
what we feel or experience when we walk in truth as we are, which is soul, which is one with the whole. Imagine
mm-hmm.
there's an
mm-hmm.
infinite ocean. And then there's a little
yeah.
inlet that's cut off from the ocean. It's dammed off. Well, as long as we have this idea of ego, as long as we have this social identity that clamps us, separates us from the whole or from others, we cannot feel the love and joy we are. But as soon as we meditate or, disintegrate this false sense of self and realize our true nature as the oneness or wholeness or soulness that we are, then we are one with source, one with the sea of infinity. And we can't help but feel love and joy. And that's probably why that man said I was the happiest out of all 400 people. Because I'm identified
so awesome.
With nothing but source. And
right. That is just beautiful. Thank you so much. For
thank you for having me. What an amazing
thank you so
interview.
Much.
Thank you for having
yeah.
me.
Yeah. So, can you share with our audience the name of your books and the services you offer and how you can be reached?
Sure. I have two books right now that I would love to share with you. One is called The Gift of Cancer, Turn Your Tragedy into a Treasure Map to Happiness, and you can find it at giftofcancer.com. That will take you directly to it on Amazon. And the other book is the Science and Spirit book called Towards a General Theory of Social Psychology, Understanding Human Cruelty, Human Misery, and Perhaps a Remedy. And that you should find linked to the other book at giftofcancer.com. Otherwise, you can come to my website where you can contact me at icanheal.com. That's icanheal.com.
Yeah.
And in terms of services I offer, I am, what am I? Besides a wisdom keeper, I am a retreat leader. I'm an I Can Heal retreat leader. We're doing a retreat. Believe it or not, we're going to Taipei, Taiwan. We're going to work with amazing women there. So we're doing retreats. And we do them also in Los Angeles, and there'll be retreats coming up this fall. I'm also, an author, and I'm a inspirational speaker. So I do keynotes, and I do seminars and workshops. And last but not least, I work with you. I can work with you one-on-one to help you feel the love and joy you are again. So I like to help people heal themselves physically, emotionally, spiritually, and socially through self-love. I'm a teacher of love and self-love. And now I'm also an emotion code practitioner. So I can help release emotions for you using the emotion code. If there's trapped emotion from your history or from a traumatic event in the past, we can do a single session together, and most likely we'll be able to release that. So I'm a healer. I'm a healer on many different levels, and I help you heal yourself because the ultimate healer is Source. I'm just in service to that power that lies within us and beyond us.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So if you want to reach out to Dr. Wendy Trenor, you have her website, icanheal.org. Thank you for tuning in to The Awakening with Katina Love. Namaste.
Namaste.